You know that this is Pentecost. This is the day when the Holy Spirit came. And we're going to take up our Bible reading, which is in Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 37. And it is one of the leading disciples, Peter, who is speaking. And the Holy Spirit is giving him the words to say. Hear the word of God as it is contained in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Reading from verse 37, it is in page 831 of the Pew Bible. That's the Bible like this. You want to follow it to make sure I'm reading the correct thing. Hear the word of God. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Now, verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children, and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Amen. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word, and to his name be all glory and praise.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, three things happened: the coming of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of Peter, and the response of the people. On this day, we have three things that we celebrate: the baptism of Lily into the church family, the birthday of Christ Church, and the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Each is mentioned in the Bible reading that we heard from Acts chapter 2. Now, I could preach for hours on each one of these, so I hope you brought a packed lunch and a snack for later on this afternoon. But I do appreciate there's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. So relax, because I don't intend to hold you hostage for too long. Acts 2, verse 37 begins with these words. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Pierced their hearts. Have you ever had your heart pierced? I remember the first time I set eyes on my wife, Carol. My heart was pierced by one of Cupid's arrows. Brownie points. And I can imagine that when Lindsay told Alan that he was going to be a dad, it was like a bolt of lightning to his heart. Bang! His life would never be the same again. Have you ever watched one of those films where they have to plunge a syringe into someone's heart to save their life? As the needle pierces the heart, the liquid content of the syringe floods into the heart and kick-starts life. With every beat of the heart, this medicine makes the heart grow stronger and stronger. Sometimes it's so instantaneous that the person shoots upright, eyes wide, gaping, gasping for breath, as if the lungs can't keep up with the demands of the heart for oxygen. When it says that Peter's words pierced their hearts, it's not a lovey-dovey feeling, and it's not a shot of adrenaline. It's a painful conviction of the heart. Peter had preached about the Messiah, and they all knew about the Messiah. The Messiah was their dream, their hope for the future, the solution to all their problems, the answer to all their prayers. They lived in expectation and anticipation that the Messiah would come to rescue them from the Romans. It was what they were taught every time that they went into the synagogue. So Peter's words, words that tell them that Jesus was the Messiah and that they had killed him, words that pierced their heart. The word pierced that's used is translated from the Greek kata nouso, made up of the verb nouso, which means pierce, and the preposition kata, which means against. And when you put the two together, it describes a violent piercing. The people were stunned by the enormity of their sin. And they asked Peter and the other disciples, what should they do? Notice that the people didn't plead their innocence. Peter may have spoken the words, but the Holy Spirit convicted every ear that heard them. And so they ask, what should they do? Peter replies, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I love baptisms. In adults, it's an outward sign of the heart within. In children, it's a sign of the conviction and commitment of the parents, guardians, or godparents to tell that child all about Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, his love, and the promise of salvation that his sacrifice brings to all who believe in him. Before the service started, I asked Lily's dad, Alan, if he'd prepared himself for the baptism we performed earlier. Alan replied, I think so. Lindsay's made up some appetizers, and we have a caterer coming to provide plenty of sandwiches and cakes for all our guests. I said, no. I mean, have you prepared yourself spiritually? Alan answered, oh yes, you don't need to worry about that. I've got a keg of beer and a case of whiskey. Lindsay, Alan, Kirsty, Claire, and Jamie, they have made promises this morning to tell Lily just how much Jesus loves her. He loves her so much that he gave his life for her. He loves her so much that he wants to spend eternity with her. He loves her so much that by his Holy Spirit he will always be with her, as he is always with each and every one of us. Have you ever, I wonder, stayed in the penthouse suite at the Ritz Hotel or Claridge's? Do you own a Rolls Royce or a Ferrari? Have you dined with the Queen? And I don't mean at the garden party. I mean, sat down at her table and dined with the Queen. I haven't, and I very much doubt that I ever will. Some things in life are reserved for the select few, the elite in society, while the rest of us mere mortals have to make do with the run-of-the-mill facilities, transport and occasions. The people of Israel in ancient times, before the day of Pentecost, believed that was true about the Holy Spirit. They were convinced that it was a rare and special gift which only a privileged elite could experience. The people who listened to Peter, the first sermon ever preached in the Church of Jesus Christ, believed there was no way in the world that they could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Such an honour went to the greats in their history, people like Elijah, Moses, Samuel, Gideon, and David, and others of similar stature. For the rank and file, God would always be one step removed, accessed only by the way of the priests in the temple. So when Peter says, "You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," this promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles. He was echoing the words of the prophet Joel hundreds of years before, who prophesied, "In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I will pour out my Spirit even on male and female slaves in those days." Those words, when they were first spoken, must have raised an eyebrow or two, for they suggested an entirely new relationship with God. Yet that is the very relationship experienced by the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and the 3,000 or so who believed what Peter said and were baptized and added to the church. That relationship is a gift offered to each and every one of us. God is not a remote and detached being reserved for the elite and privileged. God is with us here and now, and by the presence of his Spirit, we can experience all he has to offer us as a living reality within our hearts. A presence encouraging, teaching, empowering, and guiding. Peter goes on to tell the people what they need to do to have this wonderful relationship with God. He says, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Your sins are not forgiven because you are baptized. Your sins are forgiven by the repentance of your sins and turning to God. To repent is to be truly sorry for what you have done wrong. It is to have your heart so pierced that it convicts you you are sinful and guilty of your sin. Turning to God is to acknowledge who Jesus is and what he has achieved on the cross when he died to set you free. The baptism of Lily is the beginning of a journey. A journey that we pray will lead her to one day repent of her sin and accept Jesus as her Saviour. It is a journey that we all need to travel if we want to have that deep relationship with God that the early church shared in. It is a journey that we all must take if we really want to be free from the past. It is a journey that we all must take if we want to know such peace and joy that passes all human understanding, not just in the life we have just now, but in the life to come as well. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, on this very special day, when your Spirit came down upon the earth, help us to remember that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe in Jesus Christ, who accept him as their Saviour. Lord, help us to want that gift, to know you personally, to share in your joy, to have your strength to lean on when times are so bad. Lord, hear us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.